Hi, I'm Carl Pazuz. Wednesday is officially the first day of fall in the Northern Hemisphere, and that's not the only fall we're discussing on today's show. More on that in about 7 minutes. We start, though, with a big meeting at the United Nations headquarters in New York City. The UN's 193 members are holding their General Assembly this month. It's the 76th time they've done that, and many of the delegates are back in person this time around after a largely virtual summit last year because of COVID concerns. Recovering from the pandemic is a major theme in 2021. The UN says responding to the planet's needs, respecting people's rights, and revitalizing the UN are others. The 2021 summit officially began last week, but Tuesday was the opening of the general debate. This is when representatives from each country have the chance to take the stage and talk about their nation's priorities, plans, and problems. In his first speech at the UN since taking office, U.S. President Joe Biden laid out his world vision. The issues of COVID-19, climate change, and human rights were key focuses of his speech.
As a global community, we're challenged by urgent and looming crises, wherein lie enormous opportunities if we can summon the will and resolve to seize these opportunities.
The diplomatic challenges he faces include the troubled U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and a new agreement for the U.S. to help Australia build nuclear-powered submarines. As a result of that, Australia canceled a large order of conventional subs from France. That angered European officials. And China spoke out against the deal because it doesn't want increased military competition in the Indo-Pacific region. For members of the UN, there's a diplomatic tightrope to walk at the General Assembly.
It's the United Nations, meeting place for most of the world's countries, from the most powerful such as the United States, China, and Russia, to the smallest and most vulnerable. The UN has been involved in everything from assisting refugees to negotiating peace among nations. Of all the languages in the world, the UN uses six to communicate: El Arabia, Chongwen, English, Francais, Ruski, and Espanol. In some combination of those six, the UN deliberates on global issues. For judicial matters, they look to the International Court of Justice. The Economic and Social Council, otherwise known as ECOSOC, deals with, you guessed it, the world's economic, social, and environmental issues. The Trusteeship Council helps countries become self-governed and independent, while the Secretariat, another part of the UN family, tackles day-to-day issues that include keeping the press informed.
Where I'm standing is one of the more recognizable places in the UN, the Security Council. It determines threats to international peace and works to solve those problems right here in this chamber, a gift from Norway in 1952. And on top of that, this council selects the Secretary General,
who is then formally appointed by the General Assembly, the main representative body of the UN. The GA, as it's called, meets from September to December every year, but the world's problems don't exactly follow the calendar. The UN has to operate year-round, and one of the ways they're staying current is through social media. And you can follow the organization in any of its official languages.
10-second trivia. What contributes the most to U.S. gross domestic product? Government spending, exports, business investment, or consumer spending? Consumer spending accounts for around 70% of America's GDP. Consumer spending, the goods and services people buy, that fluctuates throughout the year. For instance, during back-to-school season in August, sales of books, instruments, and sports equipment usually increase. This year, though, with the ongoing effects of the COVID pandemic, production and consumer spending on new cars have been hurt by the microchip shortage we've reported on. As coronavirus cases ramped up over the summer, people spent less money in restaurants, and restaurants and retail companies are grappling with challenges of their own.
This is Astro. It works at Sergio's restaurant in Miami on its feet 12 hours a day.
A lot of people thought it was a little crazy to do, but our employees, once they saw it and felt it after 2 hours, they were like, wait a minute, we have something here.
Astro assists human staff here and in five other locations. The chain CEO, Carlos Gazitua, hopes to have 12 soon. Astro is not just a novelty, but a necessity, as Gazitua struggles to staff up.
The robot was to prevent burnout. Having robots be personal assistants to our employees, not taking away jobs, but helping them is the sweet spot for our industry in the future.
That's because hiring in leisure and hospitality was flat last month after clawing back from a record 8 million jobs lost, with restaurants and bars losing 42,000 jobs.
The restaurant recovery is now moving in reverse. We still have 90,000 restaurants that are closed permanently or long term. We're about 1 million jobs below where we should be before this pandemic.
At Sergio's, the summer brought in fresh help, students.
And those college students really helped us during that transition period. But unfortunately, those students are gone already.
Leaving restaurants like his facing an intense labor shortage.
I think it's almost like being stuck in the mud. You know, you take a step forward and you want to move your other foot, but it's very hard. That's where we are right now.
In retail, the industry is taking steps backwards. About 1.3 million people quit retail jobs in just June and July. And in August, of the 28,000 lost retail jobs, most of it happened here.
Do you think, oh, that makes sense, that's me?
Yeah, that's what we're dealing with exactly. You're going to run into a hole on the shelf. You're going to run into a longer wait at the checkout or a longer wait at the deli counter. Our overall businesses require about 800 team members. We're right now around 680. We have to shut our deli departments down early because we just don't have enough labor to staff it.
He's tried raising wages.
Has it worked?
Not great.
And this month, a new staffing challenge. President Biden announced businesses with more than 100 employees would be required to mandate vaccines or weekly testing.
When you hear that initially, as a business owner, what do you think?
You get scared. You do, because if we have to go out and mandate our team members to be vaccinated, they might walk out the door. And if they walk out the door, that's going to make it that much more difficult for us to continue to operate.
Vanessa Yurkevich, CNN, Red Bank, New Jersey.
I don't need to be reporting with a dog to have a blooper. I can do that all by myself. After 3 days in orbit at an altitude of about...
What?
Popcorn, Oreos...
Shoot, let's try it again. Corn dogs. Three is my favorite vegetable, corn dog.
And even if a reporter is kneeling, doesn't mean he or she can't fall. Here's what this is all about.
Talk about famous last words.
And she's very well behaved.
Well behaved until Flash, the trainee guide dog, caused BBC weather person Carol Kirkwood to faceplant live on the breakfast show.
Look, oh, she's gone. She's gone.
We got a Kirkwood down.
Kirkwood temporarily lost her earpiece, but not her dignity, assuring the host she was all right.
Yes, she's a very strong girl, Flash.
And in a flash, Carol joins the ranks of TV types.
Oh, I ain't messing with you. Oh, no.
Interacting or trying not to interact with animals.
Get frickin' raccoons, man.
From spiders.
Whoa!
Oh my gosh, that was creepy.
To a camel.
Other livestock owners.
No! Get it out.
I once found myself nearly disarmed by a hippo.
She seems to like to be mocked. Okay, just kidding.
Cradling a chimp stuck in a pig pen as a cub reporter.
Like my friend here.
With a pig oinking at my feet. Often it's just animals killing correspondents with affection.
Ginger just loves people. They need a wee bit of training.
Yeah, really, you think?
Carol Kirkwood got compliments on her training. Carol even manages to look graceful when falling down. She literally fell head over heels for Flash.
Who left in a flash like a heel, harnessing the moment to lead the reporter off camera. It could have apologized at least before taking a walk and causing her to roll over, but once she was able to sit and stay on air, she made a howlingly good recovery that bow-wowed her audience. It's terrible. I'm Carl Azuz, Homewood High School. Want to give a shout out to you folks in Homewood, Alabama. How do we know about them? Because they knew to subscribe and leave a comment on our YouTube channel. Have a great Wednesday, everyone.